Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one just as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me. And I guarded them, and none of them was lost except the Son of Destruction, in order that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world so that they may share my joy completely. I gave them your word, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world, and I consecrate myself for them, so that they also may be consecrated in truth. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. You just never know when I'm going to show up, do you? You know, I'm always kind of moved when I read this particular passage from the Acts of the Apostles, if you put it in the context. And I think sometimes we don't really get St. Paul. Because I think, on the one hand, I think we don't get just how important, how holy, how much he got done. On the other hand, I think we don't always appreciate what he had to go through in order to get accomplished so much in his ministry. So St. Paul, first of all, was the greatest theologian of the early church, arguably the greatest theologian of the church. He was the first person in the church who quote-unquote did theology, which basically means, you know, the other apostles took from what Jesus taught and represented it, but St. Paul adapted it to the Greco-Roman culture around him and started making all the connections with the Old Testament, and St. Paul really was the first great theologian of the church. And he was the main engine behind leaving Israel and going out across the Roman Empire, all those wonderful places that if you do my pilgrimage, of which there are four spots left, that we will visit, all those places that we, from Antioch all the way to Rome and arguably as far as Spain, all of that arc St. Paul covered, evangelizing. So in this moment, what's going on? St. Paul has suffered and worked and labored, and everywhere he went, it's not like it was a freebie. Everywhere he went to preach, he would encounter success, then would come the persecution. He would be beaten, he would be thrown in prison, he would be left for dead, he would be contradicted. People would come and, you know, contradict everything he said. It would seem like all of his labor was completely in vain. He would weep. He would go through all of this trial. And in the end, though, God would prevail through him. And he's gone through an entire career of this. So at this moment, he's in a town called Miletus. He has already been summoned back to Israel to undergo trial. And he says, I don't know what's awaiting me, but all I do know is that town after town, prophets have been telling me, you're going to be persecuted and thrown into prison. And he's basically going back awaiting a death sentence. And in Paul's mind, he really doesn't mind. His only concern is that the work that he has done continue to bear fruit. So here he is talking to the church leaders from Ephesus. They had come to see him. And he tells them, look, when I go, savage wolves are coming. People are going to attack the faith. Stay strong. And he says, he's talking to the presbyters. What were presbyters? They were the priests. That was me, okay? That was the old word for the priest. You had bishops, you had presbyters, and you had deacons. So already he had established churches with bishops and with priests and with deacons, and he's telling them, watch over the flock entrusted to you, because from beginning to end, there's going to be persecution. And the reason I'm going through all this is I think we sometimes find it shocking when we say, how come the church is persecuted? How come there's confusion? How come priests are arguing with priests, and there's all this news, and every time I open up social media, it seems like somebody said something heretical, and laws are being passed that are against the church or that are contradict Catholic teaching and all this stuff. And St. Paul gives us, from the very first century, he gives us a big reality check. This is part of our faith. If we are going to be Catholic, there will always be persecution, there will always be confusion, there will always be the cross. We are a religion of a cross. Every time you walk into a Catholic church, you will see a crucified God waiting for you. This is what St. Paul experienced all throughout his ministry. And this is what St. Paul reminded his followers. This is what's going to come. Now, does that mean that we are a bunch of masochists and life is just going to be miserable and, you know, it's really going to stink down here on earth, but eventually if you keep pushing through, you'll get to go to heaven? Well, it's not exactly that. It is also a lifestyle of joy. It is a lifestyle of fulfillment. It is a lifestyle of meaning, of love. It is the only lifestyle, really, that ultimately satisfies the longings of the human heart. But it's not going to be just a victory walk from one triumph to another. What does this have to do with all of you? Well, aside from the fact that when we read the newspapers or social media or whatever, we might occasionally get shocked by what goes on around us. Just as St. Paul was talking to the priests who were in charge of their local churches, you as parents are also in charge of the church of the family. Some of your kids are already grown up and whatnot, but again, the same logic applies. You've probably noticed you try to do your best to raise your kids Catholic, and then somewhere along the line they go to college and start getting all kinds of other ideas, and you wonder what went wrong. Well, in a sense, we should not be surprised. So what does St. Paul say? He says, keep watch over yourselves and watch over the whole flock. So that means, first of all, in our personal lives of holiness, that has to be the first thing. Are we men and women who pray? Are we men and women who in our personal lives are striving to be saints? And then the second thing is, do not forget, there are people under your care that we are responsible for. Pray for them. That's basically going to come down to, that is the mission of all of us as good parents. If your kids are grown up, you can't tell them what to do anymore. But you can continue to pray and sacrifice for them. They are still, in a certain sense, under your care in that sense. And this is what church life comes down to. The beauty is, just as St. Paul, after he went through all those storms and trials, those churches still exist today, 2,000 years later. God will be faithful. God will not, just reject us. If we, he says, if you're willing to go through all that for me, and I'm just going to say, well, too bad, nice try, it didn't work. We don't have a God like that. If we are willing to be God's instruments through thick and thin, God will bless us. We will see the triumph of his heart in that portion of the church that is entrusted to us. In my case, the souls that are under my care, and in your case, your children. So that's a beautiful message, and let's all learn from St. Paul. Father and Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.